Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drama on Sirius XM Channel 141 and WHUR. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We all know domestic violence is a very serious problem. It is everywhere. Your coworker, church member, even your next door neighbor or family member could be suffering in silence. Would you know the signs if a friend or loved one was a victim? Well, the signs are not always as obvious as bumps and bruises. Well, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and tonight we are sharing with you what you need to know about it. My guests are Dr. Okosua McFadyen. She is the director of the Howard University Office of Interpersonal Violence Prevention, and Gigi McMillan. She is the founder of Purple Runway. She is also a domestic violence survivor and an advocate. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly, you're welcome to tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Let me first talk about this issue from the perspective of the stereotypes that are still very real. We talk about bumps and bruises, black eyes, cuts, and the like. That's the obvious thing. Mm-hmm. But what about the not so obvious signs? Dr. McFadyen, give me an example of something that someone may see that they may miss.
Sometimes the abuser or the person that's unhealthy will try to control what a person wears, who they hang out with. And very early in a relationship, that can look like something that's attractive, like, oh, he's looking out for me, or she's concerned about my well-being. He or she is making sure that I'm not cold, or making mm-hmm. sure that I'm covered and taken care of. So that feels like attention. But a lot of times, the decision is to control who they hang out with, what they're wearing, who they communicate with. And very early, we all get excited when we're in relationships. We want to spend 24/7 with them. And so it doesn't seem as an issue if I'm not going to Sunday dinner, or if I'm not hanging out with my friends like we usually do on Friday nights. But now I'm spending more time with my partner. And they're pulling and creating this isolation, pulling you away from things that you would normally do. So it doesn't feel like that early on. But when you have a partner who's pulling you away and doing things like that, that's a very early sign.
So I want to drill down a little bit on that. You talked about a partner, let's say a man, who mm-hmm. is dictating what you wear. So
but it doesn't feel like dictating.
Well, that's the point that I'm mm-hmm. making. Let me suggest this. Okay, so you are going out with the girls.
Mm-hmm.
You're the wife.
Yes.
I'm the husband. And I say, honey, that skirt is too short. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you like the skirt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I say, well, I just don't think that you should wear that skirt, and you decide you're going to wear the skirt, and I get mad. Okay? You go out with the skirt, and then you go out and you meet the girls, and your girls say, that skirt's too short. What's the difference?
See, for me, the difference is that would have been communicated when we were dating.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I get to wear the halter top, the mini skirt when we're dating, so now why is it an issue when we're married?
Well, I didn't say that,
well,
though. I just said it.
Don't
add stuff to it. See, that's the problem.
No, sorry.
and I don't mean to make light of this.
No, but yeah.
But I'm really trying to get to the crux of this, because I do understand what you're saying. But I'm also trying to understand that the subtleties
of
this
subtle.
Where it may be that he is, being dictatorial. He mm-hmm. may be demanding. But if your girlfriends say the same thing.
Mm-hmm. So in that example, the sign is if I can disagree with you as mm-hmm. my husband and you don't make me feel bad about that.
Uh-huh. There you go.
If mm-hmm. you don't make me feel bad about it, then it goes like, okay, because I think that skirt is too short. Well, I don't really think so. All right, babe. I mean, that's just my thought. You know, have a good time. Or, well, I still think it's too short and you look, you know, inappropriate. You look loose. Then mm-hmm. now you're making me feel bad about that decision. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now my girls, because we girls, Gigi can tell me, girl, now you know you look. And so we can have that conversation.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Gigi, you had a difficult time, to put it mildly. Briefly, talk to me about your experience with domestic violence, and how did you eventually escape that?
My first incident with domestic violence, I was pregnant with my daughter, my oldest daughter, and I moved to another state to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it did not turn out very, very well for me.
What does that mean?
I was taken away from my family when I moved to from New Mexico to Denver, Colorado. So being moved away from my family, not knowing anyone in Denver, Colorado, I had to depend on him and his family to get me to get me stable there. Mm-hmm. It was really, really challenging because I did not witness abuse growing up. So a lot of times they say it's a generational thing. You accept it because you've seen it and you've witnessed it. That didn't happen with me. So by the time I was going through all of the abuse, the physical abuse, the mental abuse, the emotional abuse, I was ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not tell my parents at that point in time, being so young, because I didn't know what was happening to me. And his family was there. His family knew what he was doing. So I felt stuck, and I just kind of clammed up. But mm-hmm. it was something that you don't know what to do. And especially back then, there was no one to talk to about it, nowhere to go to explain where I could get help. I had no clue.
Was there physical abuse?
Yes, it was physical abuse. And the bruises heal, but the emotional scars that still I deal with today, because that was the first time. But I went through domestic violence two more times, because you don't know the signs. You're attracting the same type of guy, and because you have no idea what that is, and or what the signs are, or what to look for. So I was in a total of three different domestic violence relationships because I was unaware, and again, I did not want to tell my parents.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tonight we are talking about the signs of domestic violence. Would you recognize them if you saw them? If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kiana, calling from Maryland. Kiana, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay. I was just listening to what she was saying, and I totally agree. Sometimes we don't recognize domestic violence, and it comes through mental and physical. I was stuck, just like she was, and she said three times. I actually, where I came from, I live in Montgomery County now, but I grew up in Washington, D.C., Southeast. And I watched my mom go through domestic violence. And when I got older, I always said that I would never do it. When I was young, I said I would never go through that. But you get stuck. You get comfortable in your relationship, and you think that, and it's the type of environment that you live in too, and the type of men that you attract, just as well as she was just saying, I don't know her name. And I was comfortable. I thought that was the life that I was supposed to live. And when you go through domestic violence, it go both ways. It go through female and male. Mm-hmm. And it come aggression, the way you talk to each other, the way you are, the family setting, you know, and the kids, it's not healthy for the kids either. Because it's like once you get into that world of abuse and the way you talk to one another, your kids begin to talk terrible too. Mm-hmm. And I had to change my whole world. I had to change my whole everything. And then when I did that, I became the outcast from everybody. And sometimes I still sit in my same way, and I recognize, like, now, I just thought about dating. Mm-hmm. And I was going to go back into a relationship that I was in, and I'm glad that I made this call to call in, because by hearing what she just said, it really makes me know that I'm recognizing a lot of things that I didn't recognize within myself as far as mental. You say something to someone, okay, for instance.
Well, hold on, because I don't want to get too far down into the weeds, Kiana, but I really want to bring Dr. McFadyen back in, because something that Gigi said to me kind of struck me. How do you attract an abuser? What is it? Because and help me with this, mm-hmm. because essentially you went from man one, and then the next man walking down the street, and he happened to be an abuser. Then the next man walking down the street, you met a complete. I'm assuming that these three men did not know each other, did not have the same kind of background,
sure
the whole thing. So what is the common denominator of?
Well, one of the first issues is people who perpetuate abuse, they're making the decision. It is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
It is a choice to abuse someone else. And a lot of times, particularly for sisters, for black women and women of color, we have this idea that when I meet someone and I can see where I can provide some sort of push, encouragement, put him up to, you know, because the world beats him down, and so I want to put him up in a place, not necessarily a pedestal, but put him in a place where he can flourish. So when he makes quote unquote mistakes, then we say, all right, well, that was just that one time. Or
define mistake.
Mistakes as if he and I early on in our relationship have a disagreement and he yells back like, don't you ever disagree with me, or don't you ever
get in your face.
Yes, say or, that. Yeah. So when it's this ultimatum kind of language, mm-hmm. when it's like, well, I would never. Well, we might.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start making these expectations that are unrealistic of folk, because every relationship, everyone is going to have disagreements. The challenge is we have to argue fair. We have to have fair mm-hmm. conflicts.
But this is what I'm asking. Did Gigi just have bad luck?
Was there something that you were looking for, attracting?
I think I was very naive. And
okay.
I think that an abuser can recognize mm-hmm. that in their victim that they're, you know.
And she's going to help me.
Right.
She's going to complete me. She's going to help me survive.
Mm-hmm.
And so when both parties are healthy, when she herself is whole and then he is whole, then we might be able to work. But if you're looking to be saved by someone else,
that's right.
then that is the issue.
So let's get a little bit of clarity here. It is not that you attracted abusers. Mm-hmm. It is something that the abusers may have seen.
Yes, it's calculated. That's right.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kiana, thank you so much for your phone call. Let's go to Penny. Penny calling from Frederick, Maryland. What's on your mind?
Hi, yes. You know, I have experienced abuse, and one of the things that someone helped me with is that they saw it in my eyes. And you know, I didn't know that you could probably tell through somebody's eyes, but, you know, as I grew and gotten older, I've had a few friends that have been through domestic violence, and it was the look in their eye. You know, they were scared to talk. They were scared to tell me what was going on. But, you know, if you look, and I had to look, really look into the eyes of these people, these two women, and I figured it out. And, you know, they were crying inside, but they just didn't know how to tell anybody, or just didn't know what to tell anybody, you know. So a lot of times I look for the eyes for the abuse.
Talk to me a little bit about that, because in this particular case, she was right in what she was seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're talking about nuances, because one person's pain about domestic violence could be another person's physical pain because they may be ill.
How do you know? And if you suspect that there is someone is going through domestic violence, how do you approach that person?
Well, you have no frame of reference. Gigi mentioned it early on when she was pregnant, which is a very volatile population of women who experience substantial abuse. But when she got pulled to Delaware, she's in a new relationship. And so now women, we want to feel like I can make this work. I can be a mom. I can be a wife. I can do this.
And that was Denver.
Feel like, do I really want to call home? Do I really want to call and say that I don't think this is working out? So that's what you see in the eyes. I'm really trying to make this work. I can feel like something's not right, but I'm not really sure if I do that, am I going to lose? Am I going to be perceived as a failure, as not being able to sustain my relationship, to be a good parent? And especially if you have the family that says, you got to stick it out. So, yeah, y'all might have had one argument, but you need to push that through.
And there are families that will tell people, that abusers, I mean, victims, that they need to stay.
Hold that point. I want to finish that point because I want to make sure we understand, if you suspect that something's going on, how do you approach that person? So please hold that point. I want Penny to also stay on the line so she can get some clarity on the comment that she just made. Please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Coming up next, Jeff Brown and the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on SiriusXM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about domestic violence. Would you recognize the signs if you saw them? My guests are Gigi McMillan. She is founder of The Purple Runway. She is a domestic violence survivor and also an advocate. Also, Dr. Okosua McFadgian. She is director of the Howard University Office of Interpersonal Violence Prevention. If you have a comment or if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dr. McFadgian, as I asked before the break, if you suspect that there is an issue, how do you approach someone who you believe is being abused at home?
One of the biggest strategies is don't make the person feel like you're judging them. Because when you make an ultimatum with a friend or a family member to say, you know, I see this happening, you're being abused, and if you don't leave him, if you don't leave her, then, you know, don't call me because I'm tired of you calling me and sleeping on my couch when y'all have an argument. You are now putting
that
person.
And then you go back to him.
Yep. You're now putting that person in an unhealthy relationship because you have tried to exercise power and control over them, over your friend, over your family member to say, then I can't help you unless you do what I'm asking you to do. Well, that's what they're experiencing already in the relationship, this ultimatum. So don't judge and don't make them feel like they are not making good choices. But I think the most powerful piece is to communicate how it's hurting you, how it hurts me to see Gigi as my friend, as my sister. It hurts me to see you cry. It hurts me to see what Penny is saying in the eyes. You ain't have to tell me all the details, but just know I'm here. So be consistent. So don't judge. Own what you're feeling about their relationship, how it makes you feel, and be consistently present.
And continue to support them.
Yep.
If you speak kind words to people that are struggling and hurting, you know what? They will see that you have that faith in them, and they will see that you. They know that they're in the wrong place. Now, it may take them some time to make that decision to leave, but just listen, just be there. Let them know, I love you, I know you're a strong woman, and I'm here for whatever decision
whenever
that you're
ready.
Whenever. 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You need me, you call me.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Penny, for your question. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Catherine calling from D.C. Catherine, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Good evening, everyone. I have a comment to make. I'm actually also a survivor of domestic violence, and mine was quite brutal. I'm thankful to be alive. I actually was stabbed 10 times. And initially, the question that you asked is, are you able to recognize the signs? No, you're not. Because when mine started, it was just, why did you say this to me? I don't like your friends. Why must I, it was all the why questions that were being asked, and you're not thinking that, well, hang on, this is going to lead on to something else. And so then the first instant, I get the shove. And much like Gigi, I didn't grow up in an environment that I had ever been exposed to any form of violence, not even a slap. And again, much like Gigi, I found myself in two other relationships that were abusive. And in my case, I feel like the two other abusive relationships, even though they weren't physical, one was verbal and one was emotional. It was purely because I had expressed what had happened in the past to me. Mm-hmm. The fact that I talked about I'd been in a domestic violence environment and this is what happened, that me sharing that part of my life as part of transparency ended up backfiring, so to speak, because the last person that I was dating, he was verbally abusive. And every time I would say to him, you're actually verbally abusive, this is a form of domestic violence. And he's like, no, it's not. And it's amazing how many people only associate physical abuse with domestic violence.
Well, Catherine, let me stop you there. Let's talk a little bit about that, because certainly we've used the term domestic violence, but there is also abuse, and there are many forms of abuse. And obviously, there's emotional,
spiritual. There is also economic abuse. Spiritual abuse is when your partner doesn't allow you to engage in acts or wear garments that represent your faith. If they start giving you, again, this imbalance of where if you love me more, you wouldn't go to church, or why are you spending time reading whatever sacred text it is, because whatever you need, I can give it to you. Or there's financial abuse, and that can be extremely subtle.
Financial abuse is very,
very huge. And so if you're in a relationship where you feel like, it's okay, he's working, I'm working, but there are some contingencies on how you get or receive money, that is a challenge. And contingencies can be something as simple as, yeah, I'll give you some money, but I just don't want you going to DSW this time.
Mm-hmm.
So that means we need to have a conversation.
Or
so.
Also what they will do with financial abuse, they'll intentionally ruin your credit.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. They'll intentionally ruin your credit, and they will withhold. They want to see receipts.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
You know, I gave you $5 and
what
it came to $4.49. Where's the rest of the money?
Mm-hmm.
The sure signs of financial abuse.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Catherine, for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phone lines, how did you, Gigi, finally escape this cycle of domestic violence?
It was very challenging. In Purple Runway, what did I do is I had to look at myself and get over the anger, get over the depression, get over the shame. I had to go to therapy. Therapy was very important to me because I was able to talk to my therapist, and she was able to pull the trauma out of me.
Mm-hmm.
She was able to pull the trauma out of me and help me understand where the reason why I was the way I was at that point. And I didn't like everything about myself because I was non-trusting. I didn't want to make friends. I really didn't want to make
the
friends.
Isolation.
The isolation, because I had gotten comfortable with it. And then when I make friends or talk to people, then the next thing you know, they let me down. So I just kind of, you know, stayed to myself. But honestly, it was saying, you know what? I was working at this particular place, making amazing money, but I was not whole. So I was able to leave that and focus on fashion. And fashion was something that I used to use as a mask. But now I understand the difference between fashion and style, and that's what came out of Purple Runway. Purple Runway was my healing through these 5 years on that journey of understanding my self-worth and setting boundaries and being open and trusting. Now, everyone is not that no one is not going to be that person that is not going to try to take advantage in one way or another, but you know the signs. When you have the tools, you know the signs, and you know how to set those boundaries and not accept it anymore.
What is Purple Runway?
Purple Runway is an event that we just celebrated on the 20th, October 20th, 5 years. I celebrate survivors, thrivers, and conquerors of domestic violence. And it's because there's not a lot, there's nowhere where those stories are put together and to show women that may be still in that struggle, that we're standing in the gap for you. And these are women that can, that you're seeing walking this runway, 55 and older or younger, and they are coming out of the storm. That's and awesome. They are putting themselves out there to say, I am a survivor. Matter of fact, I am a thriving survivor.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Go ahead, please.
I just wanted to make sure before we finish, when a victim or a survivor wants to leave a relationship, but things we can do is provide safety planning. And safety plan is when you make an arrangement ahead of time, because it takes 7 to 10 times for a victim to leave an unhealthy or abusive relationship. So safety planning is making sure you have copies of documents, like have a copy of your ID, birth certificates, checking accounts. If you have children, make sure you have copies of their birth certificates. Make sure that you have other people that can check the child out of school besides someone that the partner might know. Have a trusted friend, have a space where you can keep extra clothes for yourself or for your child. Have a code word or a magic word, if you will, that if I call Gigi and I'm ready to leave this relationship, then I'm going to say, all right, my magic word is umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to know, oh, you need an umbrella. Yeah, I need the umbrella. And
I'm
so
bring
she's,
it to you real quick.
Right, real quick, right.
Real quick.
And so she's going to know, all right, Acosta was ready to leave now because she's given that word. Make copies of keys. It's very, it can be scary, but we always tell survivors, don't tell family members or don't tell that friend that you know he's going to call or she's going to call. Mm-hmm. Tell someone that is... that they least expect. So we don't want to put the bag over mama's house or grandmother's house because he's going to come there and look for you. But we want it to be your child's play date mother and y'all are gone to the park a couple of times and then you just say, all right, you know, I'm in a situation. I think if you can help me in the future, not today, but if you're able to help me, I want to figure out how we can work together to do that.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. LaShondra, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, LaShondra. What's on your mind?
Good evening, and hi, Dr. Acosta and Gigi. My question tonight is, what would be telltale signs to a parent that their teen daughter, maybe even their son, is in an abusive relationship?
That's really good.
Yes, so one of the biggest signs is if you are engaged in behaviors in their relationship that you feel you are reluctant to share with your parents, then that's a sign. So for teenagers, that can be tricky because, of course, they're doing most things that they don't want parents to know.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the first thing I was going to say.
But if you're hiding the relationship.
Your teenagers don't want it. They don't even want to tell you when they brush their teeth.
But their personality, their personality may shift.
Yeah,
if they're really a happy-go-lucky child and student, they start becoming withdrawn.
Grades
are falling. It's all of the opposite things of who you know that they are. Mm-hmm. Now, trying to get that out of them.
Yes.
That is going to be very challenging, but it's always good to have a great relationship with your child beforehand,
right,
because that is what is going to entrust them to telling you.
Yeah, I really think it's important to drill down on that,
mm-hmm,
because I don't care what kind of relationship you have with your teen. When your teen goes from 12 to 13,
mm-hmm,
they get crazy because it's called puberty.
That's
and it's called, mm-hmm, teenager. And your child could be the greatest thing since sliced bread, but then, mm-hmm, all of a sudden, no, they don't want to talk because they're in their phones. And so how do you figure that out? How do you dig when, as LaShondra is asking, that there's got to be something, and
so
you're suspecting.
Yeah, so Gigi's right in terms of the change in behaviors. But when, again, she's right, if you have a relationship with your children prior to 13 years old, or if you're going through middle school and figuring out, is it somebody that you like? How do you feel about that? If you're able to communicate to them, please let me know when you have feelings for someone, mm-hmm, and those feelings start to change. Feel like, even if you don't tell me, if you feel that you're engaged in a behavior or feeling a certain way about someone and I don't want to share that with anyone,
mm-hmm,
that is the challenge. That is, mm-hmm, the sign.
Okay.
If you feel like you're sneaking to hang out with this person because you know your mother is not going to like them,
mm-hmm,
even if you never tell mother, let's think about why that is the case.
And
talk,
you know,
to your best friends.
And
friends,
another
will
great,
yes,
way,
mm-hmm,
is develop relationships with your children's friends.
Yep.
Because you know what? Those friends, mm-hmm, they know what's going on. And when they have a great relationship with you as the best friend parent and you guys do a lot together, they will tell on the child.
The
child.
Something's not right.
Something's not right. They will share that information with you.
Yeah.
LaShondra, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Talk to me a little bit.
One more thing about the teens.
Go right ahead.
You have to pull in the community, like teachers, coaches, cheerleader coaches, soccer coaches, because they will be able to observe that something's not right,
mm-hmm,
if
okay,
you're not. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anything else?
No, that's
okay.
It. Okay.
You just jump right on in. The talk to me about men, because this is not just about women victims.
Mm-hmm.
Often men can be. What kind of abuse might men be the victims of, and why?
Oh, it's all of it. It's physical abuse, it's mental abuse, it's financial abuse.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1 in 9 men. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, of the reported cases, 40% of the reported cases are men.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't talk about it as much.
And we don't talk about it because we live in a misogynistic culture. Well, we have women, and I say this to our students on campus, that are taking advantage of this misogynistic culture, meaning...
What does that mean?
And what that means is society will believe me as a woman. If you are a 250-pound man and I say you and I are together and the police come, they're going to believe me. And what that means is, since I know that as a perpetrator, I will do what I can to undermine you, to control you, to make you feel bad about your decisions, to cuss you out, you know, to push you, and then say, you better not put your hands on me, because you can't put your hands on me, because if you do, then you're going to jail, or my brother, mm-hmm, is coming to get you. And so men have this feeling that, well, I can't do anything. She's harming me. She makes me feel bad about myself. But if I do it, if I call the police, I'm going to be more likely than not the one that they're going to arrest, because she's going to be able to communicate in a very, you know, strategic way that she is the victim, mm-hmm, and he's not.
And that brings me to a really interesting point, because we know that for women that have been victims of domestic violence, and I mean specifically violence,
mm-hmm,
not just the emotional stuff. I'm talking about hands-on beating, mm-hmm, that kind of thing. That the most dangerous time for them is when they attempt to leave.
Yes.
Is that the same for men? Is it just as dangerous for men who try to leave? When you say that
in the example that you use, when she says, "You better not put your hands on me. I know that I have control of the situation," girlfriend, boyfriend, mm-hmm. husband, wife, doesn't matter. Is it easier for men to leave?
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Because, I mean, it's the same.
No, because and then they
control
have,
is control.
Yeah, and then they have their male friends that they feel like are going to judge them and make them feel bad. Or so, man, you don't have control of your relationship. You don't have mm-hmm. control of your woman. Like, you can't control the fact that she's yelling at you. You need to handle that. You need to put that in check.
Yeah.
But that's a toxic masculinity. That's an approach that is not healthy.
Right.
Men should be able to go to other men and say, "I'm having an issue in my relationship, and I don't feel like mm-hmm. I'm being supported."
I sat on this panel a few months ago, and there was a gentleman that was on the panel. He was a survivor. He was in the military. Mm-hmm. He was a Marine. He was about 6'3", 240 pounds. Mm-hmm. And he was being abused so bad that his sergeant or his supervisors were concerned for him. But he would never, he would say, blood, she stabbed him, one of the incidents. And blood was running down his leg. And he was just, he tried to walk to the hospital because I guess they lived on base at the time. Walked to the hospital, and his commander came and said, "You have to get." No, it was fine. He said the same thing mm-hmm. as we say as women. Oh, it was something I did, mm-hmm. or what have you. Mm-hmm. He eventually, obviously, got out of the relationship. Mm-hmm. But control is control,
yeah.
And it's mental, it's emotional. The physical is the byproduct yeah. of.
By the time it gets physical, it's very severe.
Right.
But the way that gender is constructed in our country, men and women feel like they have to adhere to the expectations of their gender. And that means as a man, I have to show that I'm dominant, that I'm strong, and that mm-hmm. I'm not being abused, or I'm a victim of an abusive wife or abusive girlfriend mm-hmm. because people feel like that's not something that happens, but it happens a lot.
202-319-7810 202-319-7810 Of course, we are talking about domestic violence and the signs. Would you know them if you saw them? One of the other things that, and it was interesting because I was talking to a friend of mine about this today, is the strategic way that we often see abusers assault, for lack of a better term, assault their mates, because a lot of times, and this is just so horrific, that they know that they are doing wrong, and so they don't hit them where they may be easily seen, not in the face. They hit him in the body. They hit him in the leg and the like. Talk to me a little bit about, is that kind of abuser one step up from the monsters that we've already been talking about?
Well, the perpetrators know the law better than you and I do.
Yep. We're
law-abiding citizens. So they know that if they're going to hit you in the stomach or in the ribs, that's what they're doing. They're hiding it, but mm-hmm. that's their control mechanism on you.
Yep.
They know the law better. They know how to be calm in front of the police.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. while you're crying and you're hysterical, it's like, I didn't do anything to her. You know, they know how to work that angle because they've been there before.
Yeah, using manipulation to control
right.
the relationship.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Anthony, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello, and hello, panel. I'd like to thank you guys for having this conversation.
Sure.
And I wanted to add a dynamic to it. I'm a former abuser. And I was calling in to share just a few short things. I hope I can get it all in.
Go right ahead. Just make your point, please.
My point is, when the women that I met and abused were formerly abused before I met them, and they carry that baggage into the relationship. And it's quick for you to say, "Oh, this is a sign. That's a sign. That's a sign." But every man that come into your circle is not there to abuse you. I would not, don't get me wrong, I'm a true believer that there's no circumstance that a man should put his hands on a woman. No circumstances. And I've gone through a lot of therapy to get to the point to understand why I did the things that I did. But I need the woman to also ask herself, how combative are you when it comes to the relationship? How combative are you, not just in your relationship, in your everyday life? You really need to look and examine self. Like you say, it's just not a healthy situation at all once it becomes physical. But even without your mate, are you a combative type person?
So let me ask a question for clarity, because one of the things, as a person, Anthony is admitting to have been an abuser at one point, but also we were just talking about women who abuse men. Is it possible that you could have two abusers in a relationship?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, most definitely. Yeah. You know, and both of them do not have the tools on either side of that equation to heal. And sometimes we are attracted because of our trauma, and we don't know how to deal with that. So, Anthony, congratulations to you for going to get the help. And understand that those women that you're running into, they have not taken that step to get the help that's needed. So that's where you can help them and say, you know what, I was this person, and I took ownership of my future, and to be resilient and understand that I deserve better. And I've done the work on myself to get there. And you should be able to recognize them. They need help. They're going to repeat those same behaviors if they don't know where they can get that help from.
Because, you know, the thing that it sounds like, you know, to me is that, you know, he may have been a physical abuser, and then he may have been involved with a woman who was verbally abusive, mm-hmm. or emotionally mm-hmm. abusive, which mm-hmm. comes back to, what he's saying, well, how combative mm-hmm. is the other partner in that relationship?
One thing about the recurring, because we've talked about this a little bit tonight, about the recurring trauma and the recurring likelihood of getting in abusive relationships, so just really quick, just neurologically speaking, there are many times for people who continue to experience trauma, like a generational of trauma. So there are hormones that are released.
That's right.
That tell us that we should be afraid, that we are to be in fear. Mm-hmm. And so if I am going into a relationship where this hormone is constantly being released, then I'm always in a defense to protect myself. And so I'm not justifying anybody's abusive behaviors, because again, it is a choice. But what the body does, it communicates to the brain that you are in trouble.
Danger,
and you need
danger,
to continue to put yourself in a position where you can handle this trouble. And so for some people, it's fight or flight. For some people, you know, they freeze. And for some people, they continue to create this system of power and control so that they control how much I can handle in terms of abuse and trauma, because our bodies are releasing these hormones to communicate something to us that's not true.
Mm-hmm. Anthony, one final question for you. Why were you abusive in your relationship?
I was not happy with me. I wasn't happy with the person that I was, and I was searching for someone to accept and love me for me. And once I thought that I had found that person, then I didn't ever want them to abandon me. You know, I don't leave me. What, no matter what we go through, don't leave me. Mm-hmm. And it was just terrible. And what, if I may, one more quick little thing.
Real quick.
You were talking earlier about recognizing your children. I have daughters, so I scrutinize their partners very crucially. And it's simply as simple as when the young man is playing with your daughter, how he'll grab hold to her to insert his dominance over her at that point. I've raised my daughters not to accept stuff like that. You know, it looks cute. If you can stand on any playground and watch it, it looks cute how they playing and hitting them already. Nah, that's to me, for me, that's the beginning stages right then and there. Mm-hmm. And okay. You need to...
Very good point, Anthony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Anthony, thank you so much for being transparent and sharing with us. And hopefully your comments will help men out there that are struggling with this issue. I appreciate your time. I only have a few minutes left. Gigi, I'll let you start with some final thoughts.
My final thoughts are one thing that it's very important for survivors of domestic violence is to be able to see real action being taken to protect our rights as women, men that are going through violence. And what I am looking to advocate for is a national domestic violence registry. And that registry would definitely have a way for people to be added to that registry if they are abusers. I've seen people on social media say, you know, this person, this man did this to me, don't date this person, and putting his face out there. But the final words is understand your worth, understand your value. If you need help, find that trusted person that can give you the support that you need to live the happiest and healthiest life you can possibly imagine.
Dr. McFadden.
I would just say that if anyone feels like they are in an abusive relationship to the point where small signs are not being able to have a conversation with your partner about any conflict that you might have, that is an early sign. You should be able to disagree with your partner and not feel like you will be retaliated against mm-hmm. or feel like you're going to get in trouble. Another thing, this is not just a women-led movement in terms of preventing domestic violence. There are many men on our campus and many men in this country
yes.
who support allies and want to know what they can do to support women. And I would just say, believe them.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Acosta McFadden and Gigi McMillan, thank you so much for bringing your thoughts and your expertise to this conversation. I really appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, October 25th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.